Unbeknownst to probably most of you, we have new shelves in here, courtesy of the Haldemans. Barry and Colleen were here and installed these shelves, which will make life a lot easier, and nice storage in there for us. So thank you for coming here this week to do that. And Justin, of course, is my go-to guy for technical help, and he's helping me again this week for things for this morning, and I do appreciate that. And Jennifer, thank you for starting us off on the right foot. Appreciate your ministry, your love for the Lord. It shows. And for all of you, thank you for the children's story, Colleen. Thanks for bringing the children. The Lord is good. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. God is great and God is good, and we thank Him for our food. You know, we were all probably, most of us probably introduced to prayer at a young age as children, but now we're all grown up for the most part. Some of us have grown to do, but, and sometimes we think we have this thing called prayer kind of down pat, or do we? This morning we're starting a series of messages on prayer. As an elders team, we decided that this is something the Lord would want us to do. And so we'll be looking at different aspects of prayer to help us develop a more dynamic and effective prayer life and a deeper relationship with our Father. And so let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for this time we can be together as a family, the family of God, with You, our Father. We thank You for the great sacrifice of Jesus, Your only Son, on our behalf. And we celebrated last week His resurrection, and every Sunday we celebrate Your resurrection, Lord Jesus. Thank You for the great cost, for paying that great cost to have us reconciled with the Father, that we can actually talk with You and You want to receive us as Your children. Be with us this morning. I pray that, Holy Spirit, You'll speak through me. Ready every heart to hear the things You want them to hear. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would say most of us pray several times a day. We do it here every Sunday. But we don't really think that much about this thing we call prayer. And does God really need our prayers? God's all-knowing. He already knows what's going on in our lives and our needs. So why should we have to pray? I've heard people ask that question. And when we do pray, how should we pray? What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Are some prayers more effective than other prayers? Are there hindrances to our prayers? Are there different kinds of prayers? Does praying scriptures make our prayers more effective? These are just some questions that I just put together, and we'll probably be looking at some of these as we go the next several weeks. Maybe there you have questions that I didn't even bring up. But the intent of these messages in this series is to really help us draw closer to the Father and be more effective in our prayer life, especially in this new season that we've entered in here at Teen Central. So the good news is when we receive Christ Jesus into our hearts as our Savior and our Lord, His shed blood cleanses us from all our sin, and we become children of God. Now that's good news. That's awesome. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And as His children, we now have the privilege of talking with our Heavenly Father. It's a great thing. And with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit, we can talk to Him at any time, at any place, and about anything. However, prayer is just not us talking to God. as in like a monologue, but it's really two-way communication with a real person, God himself. So with that being said, I believe too many Christians have this wrong image of God, which I had at one time, which does, I believe, hinder us in our prayers, in our prayer time. It's an Old Testament image where we view God as some kind of grumpy old man, ready to judge us at any moment, and is not very approachable. And because of this, we tend to shy away from entering into his presence because we see ourselves as we are, which are sinful, and we miss it. And so we tend to shy away, and it hinders us in coming to him and desiring us to talk to him and be in prayer. This is what it says in Hebrews 1:3. It says, "The Son, which is Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory in the exact representation of his being." That means, basically, that God the Father is exactly like Jesus. That's helpful to know that. Because Jesus was a friend of sinners, and he cared for the outcasts and the nobodies, and there was nobody that was too far gone for Jesus to reach out to. And it's the same with God. He's the same as Jesus. And so, because Jesus and the Father are exactly the same, it says this in Ephesians 3:12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Isn't that good to know? So, because of Jesus' great sacrifice, his shed blood that cleanses us from our sin, when the Father sees us, he sees Jesus' righteousness and not our filth and our sin. And so, the Father, listen to this now, the Father deeply wants and desires and longs for us to come to him and to talk with him, and he with us. Do you believe that? I hope so. I mean, it's an amazing thing to think about. I mean, the creator of the whole universe, God Almighty himself, wants to talk with you and wants to talk with me. Wow. In Luke 11:1-4, Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them to pray. So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name.'" Of course, we know that as the Lord's Prayer, the start of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus was teaching them, and he's teaching us, that we have this great privilege of coming to talk to Almighty God because he is our Father. The Bible refers to him as our Abba, or Daddy. Because of Jesus, we're adopted children. Now, think about this. Being adopted means he chose us. And we have the same inheritances now and birthright as his own son. That's pretty amazing. Listen to Romans 1:8-15. I've given this to somebody, and then we'll go to this. But just listen to the scripture talking about our adoption. It's on, I think.
Romans 8:15. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father.
Abba, Father. We can cry out to him. So as his children, we can talk to him. And just as any kid should be able to talk to their father, we can do that with our Father in heaven. However, unlike our physical, earthly fathers who can't be with us all the time because they have other things to do, and of course, we all fall short as fathers, but our Heavenly Father is available 24/7 and eagerly desires to connect with us and wants to be in constant fellowship with us. Because he loves us. John 1:4-8 says, "God is love, And because of his great love, we are constantly on his mind. Constantly. Now, this is not an exaggeration. The Bible does not exaggerate. Exaggeration is a kind of a lie, right? Bible does not exaggerate. Listen to Psalms 139, 1 to 4, and then 17 and 18. Thinking about how much God loves you and how much he loves me. Listen to these scriptures.
Psalms 139, 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Verses 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Is that amazing? I mean, you've heard these scriptures before, but let them sink in. How much he's thinking about us, constantly on his mind. More than number than the sand. Think about the sand. That's a lot of sand out there and all the deserts and all the beaches. I mean, that's a lot of thoughts. He's thinking about you and me because he loves us so much. Because God is love, love greatly desires fellowship and intimacy. Think about it. The people you love, you want to be with and hang out with. I know oftentimes we think about what mankind lost in the Garden of Eden. But what did God lose in the garden? He lost intimacy and he lost friendship with mankind. How badly did God want it back, that intimacy? We celebrated it last week. The price, the great price he had to pay to restore intimacy with us. His only son's life on the cross. And remember that veil in the temple that was torn in two by God himself from the top to the bottom that separated us and the people from his presence? He wanted that out of there. He wanted that gone because he didn't want any barriers between him and his kids any longer. And so he ripped that thing from top to bottom. It says this in 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. For our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Just know, you, yes, you, bring great pleasure and joy to God. Some of you may have a hard time believing that you bring pleasure and joy to God, but you do. This poster I stole from the other part of the room, it says, you are special. Yes, you, the one reading this. There was a kid at Teen Central the other night, and he was not feeling really good about himself, and I said, hey, look up at that. Read that. And he read it. I said, no. I said, now read it. I said, that's talking about you. You're special to God. You're important to God. He has plans for your life. I thought, yeah, right there it is in Teen Central, telling us how important we are to the Father. Listen to Zephaniah 3:17. Listen to God's heart here for you and me in this scripture.
Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing.
Can you imagine God up in heaven singing over Larry? Why not? He loved you. You're a son. That's my son in whom I'm well pleased. I mean, he does that for all of us. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? But this is the truth of God's word that we're reading. I believe another barrier for us to understand and receive this kind of a closeness with the Father has to do with what I call a religious relationship. Meaning, we too often view our relationship with God as servant, as only a servant to a master. It's a relationship in where we're performing some role out of a sense of duty. You know, God doesn't want us to give us a job. And he doesn't want to relate to us as our boss. That's not what he wants at all. He wants us and wants to relate to us as a father and as a friend. And Jesus said this in John 15:15. It says, I know you no longer as servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And, you know, the very fact that when you go to pray and take time from your schedule to come into his presence brings him joy. He's smiling on you when you take that time and come to him. He loves it. And as we spend more and more quality time, like Joanne did this week, hearing that still small voice, you're going to find yourself having new insights as you read the Word. You're going to receive dreams in the evenings when you're sleeping. You'll have revelation and prophetic words that he will communicate in and through you as you become more and more intimate with him. That's what he desires. It's a two-way thing. We are talking to him and we're listening like Joanne did today and this week, listening as well. And you enjoy spending time together, especially when everything's good. Isn't that how it works in families? We just love to get together, even in the, especially in the good times. I think sometimes we make prayer more complicated than it needs to be. Good prayer is essentially just being relaxed and being yourself and confident in your relationship with the Father. We don't need to impress him with fancy, eloquent words. That won't do it. He's there and he's listening and he will answer. Jeremiah 33:3. It's God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Psalm 17:6. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. And he does. That was David writing that. In Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. God is waiting to meet with us. And he wants simple, heartfelt communication. You know, each of us are different. He's made us all so different. Just like fingerprints, we're one of a kind. Some people's prayers will be very emotional. Maybe tears are being expressed. Other times, people are more aggressive or warrior-like in their prayers. Others are more reflective, quiet, maybe even just in silence before God. And maybe you do them all or something different or a mix of all of those. Which is best? The one that's most genuine from you, from your heart. Listen to the parable of Luke 18:9-13. This is Jesus' words. I think I gave that one to you, Larry.
Luke 18:19-13.
Right. No, not 9-13, but that's good.
It's not 9-13?
9-13. You said 19.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Luke 18:9-13. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up at heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
So you can see Jesus was comparing this religious Pharisee to this, what was considered sinful, tax collector. And whose prayer do you think he heard? That tax collector was coming from his heart saying, "Oh God, have mercy on me." And he did. And that tax collector who was self-righteous, or the Pharisee who was self-righteous, I'm sure God heard it, but he wasn't impressed with it, you know, saying how good he was. So really what I'm saying is, and what the Word is saying, is that good prayer is much more than our words and what comes out of our mouth, but it's really our heart attitude before God that he's listening to. He wants simple, honest prayers, prayers without pretense, prayers from a grateful heart, will really touch his heart. You know, when I first became a follower of Jesus, I was 25 years old when I was born again, and prayer was easy. I mean, I would get with the Father, and he seemed so close. And we had some wonderful times together. And I really heard his voice and sensed his love. But over time, seasons changed, and prayer became much harder and actually difficult. I'd go to God in prayer, and he no longer seemed close. Have you ever experienced that in your life? I'm like, "Where are you, God? You were here yesterday. Where'd you go?" I personally believe that he hides his presence from us because he wants to mature us and grow us up. He wants us not to rely on our feelings because they're unreliable. He wants us to trust the promises in his word and hang on to him by raw faith. And I believe that's why I couldn't sense his presence, because he wanted me to grow up. Growing up is never easy, whether it be physically or spiritually. There's always some rough spots in the growth process. But we need to trust that what he says in his word is true. He says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And when you don't sense his presence, just hang on to those promises because they're true. He's there, even if you don't feel him. So my times of prayer went from something dynamic and really uplifting to be they became something like, I knew I was supposed to do it, so I did it. It was kind of a duty. They became dry, rote, and there seemed to be few answers to my long list of prayer requests. And I did. I had long lists. I would go before God with these long, actual lists and just go down through them. Ugh. He was patient with me. But I would say this, prayer became a religious calisthenic at one point for me, something I knew I needed to do. There was times where I felt like my prayers were like trying to twist God's arm to do something. You ever feel like that? Or I would think my prayers were a way of moving God, like he was stuck or something. Yeah, I know. Sometimes I just pray just so my own conscience would be soothed. I could say, well, I did it. That's pretty bad, isn't it? I've done that too many times, thinking I've done my duty. And in those kinds of times, you're busy, you know? And my to-do list is already long, and so prayer's on that to-do list, and sometimes I just skip it. Get the short end of the stick on my to-do list. What was natural and easy for me to do, making a connection with Almighty God, became a struggle. Very few prayer answers seemed like. I thought, why should I even bother? Sometimes I'd be praying, I'd fall asleep, just like those disciples. Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Boy, is it ever weak. So instead of being something fulfilling and fruitful, it was associated with disappointment, boredom, and unfulfilled hopes. And I don't think I'm alone in this. I think we've all gone through seasons like this in our lives. So when you lose your connection with God, don't feel condemned. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to condemn you, make you feel like you're nothing or nobody. And it happens to all of us at times. It just didn't happen to me once or twice. It happens to me often. It has happened often in my life. Fortunately, I try not to stay there. The Lord in his mercy has been gracious and brought me back into his presence. And it's taken some times at times. But I've learned to go back to him and seek out his voice, like Joanne was doing this week again, to hear him speaking again to me and through his word. Most times when I pray, I have the Bible open, and if he wants to say something, I'll look through it, and sometimes he'll speak in those ways. He speaks in a variety of ways. So I'll say this. Prayer is not just something we do a couple of times a day, but really, prayer should be, and I believe is, a lifestyle of communicating with God. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. I mean, we've got to be like this when we're driving down the road with our eyes closed. I hope not. You're going to be in an accident quickly. But it means that God wants to communicate with us without ceasing. That's what it means. And so, yeah, there'll be times where we're on our knees, but there'll be times where we're just with him. And he wants to communicate all day long. You know, the enemy knows this and wants to hinder and destroy our connection with God. So we're in this constant battle. If it seems like it's a battle sometimes to hear his voice and to get there, it is. I'm just telling you, it is. The enemy will continually bombard our minds with thoughts and demand our attention to distract us from getting alone with God in prayer. And when you determine to meet and connect with God in prayer, it's going to be a battle. Just know it. There'll be all kinds of distractions, from the dinging of your phone for a text or a call or different sounds or noises. Even the clock on the wall will become a distraction at times. You'll have wandering thoughts. Am I alone in this? Anybody else? Thoughts wander when you're praying. It's like, ooh, I've learned to pray out loud because if I don't, my mind goes a thousand different. So I'm speaking aloud to help focus my thoughts. It's a battle sometimes. And our minds get on things like our busy schedule. It just happens. My point, Satan will do whatever he can to stop us from getting connected and staying connected with God. He knows prayer is our lifeline to God. God knows our frailty. He knows we need constant sustenance from him. And this is just in our private prayer times. I like this part. Then there are the dreaded prayer meetings. Again, I can assure you that when the church gathers to pray, Satan will oppose it. Why? Because times of corporate prayer together potentially have great power to bind the enemy's hands and unleash God's spirit to move in hearts and lives and in communities and change circumstances and bring about the kingdom of God. Matthew 18, 19 says, again, I say to you, if any two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That's a pretty bold promise that Jesus is making there. The early church knew this, and so they would gather for corporate prayer. Listen to Acts 12, 5-17. Whoever has that one. You have that one, David? Or Will does. Okay, thanks, Will.
So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands.
That was a result of corporate prayer of the church. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah. Does God change? It should be the same today. Yet today, most corporate prayer meetings are not so exciting, and too frequently there seems to be few, if any, results from them. I'm going to give some confessions here. For years, I would chafe at going to these so-called prayer meetings. They were just boring. People seemed to only talk about their problems, you know, Aunt Susie's bunions, or Jeff wants a new job, and on they'd talk about their problems to one another. They talked to each other about all these problems, and then we'd spend 5 or 10 minutes in prayer. Yeah. And then when we did pray, we'd hear, "Oh Lord, if it be your will, oh Lord, if you can do this and such." Now, I'm not trying to be negative on prayer meetings, but that's was my take on prayer meetings for many years. They were just downright brutal to go to. If I hear one was coming up, I'd hope I have a root canal at the dentist so I wouldn't have to be there and have an excuse to miss. And then, lo and behold, God, he has such a sense of humor. Our God is, oh, he's good. There was a Saturday morning intercessory prayer time at Chickie's, 6 a.m. I was teaching full-time at Hemfield, and Fern Heise was the one leading it and asked me to come. I made up all kinds of excuses why I couldn't come. What was the real reason? It's my only day to sleep in. I didn't want to get up at 6 a.m., be there at 6 a.m. to pray. "If it be your will, Lord, let me sleep a little longer." Yeah. In the end, I bit the bullet, and I went. To my surprise and amazement, we actually met with God, and he with us. It was awesome prayer time together. And this is going to sound funny to you, but there was actual times where Luann had to be away on a Saturday and couldn't be home because our kids were little yet. And I would hire Lon DeBrant to come and watch our kids sleep while I went to pray, so there would be somebody at the house. That's how much I wanted to be there, because I knew I was going to meet with God. Wow, was that a turnaround for me. Just remember, prayer, whether it be personal prayer or corporate prayer, is a life source in our spiritual walk. It's powerful. If we could only see into the spirit realm the things that go on as a result from our prayers, we can't see into that. I'm glad we can't in many ways. But things happen as a result to our prayers. Listen to these three scriptures. We're going to read James 5:16, Ephesians 6:18, and then 1 Timothy 2:1. We're going to read them all three together, but just listen. Listen to these.
James 5:16, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results."
Ephesians 6:18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people."
And then 1 Timothy 2:1-2, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness."
Lord wants us to pray. But you know, prayer is more than just actual words. Sometimes we don't have the words to say, do we? There's oftentimes I'm in that spot. Romans 8:26 says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what to pray for or how to pray. The Holy Spirit helps us, prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words." Wow, we have a helper that'll do that for us, through us. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we just don't have the words to convey the things that are on our hearts. Just come before the Father and let the Holy Spirit do that on our behalf to the Father. It's because prayer is supernatural. Supernatural. Our spirits connect with the Spirit of God, and something supernatural happens as a result. So when we make a decision to pray, something happens beyond us into the supernatural realm. We become a prayer team with the Holy Spirit. Think about that. It's just not little old Laura or Sean or Mike or Dave. No, it's you and the same power that rose Jesus from the grave working together as a team to accomplish something. Wow. He will help direct our thoughts, give us words to say, and help us connect with the Father to bring about breakthroughs in our lives and those around us and in whatever the situations may be. So when we realize this partnership we have with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to direct us, don't be surprised when sicknesses, disease, and problems go when we command them to go in the name of Jesus. We have authority in the name of Jesus to do this. So in essence, we're talking with a supernatural Father, and our communication is also supernatural. This is why prayer is so important, and we stay in constant fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, the enemy knows how powerful this can be and wants to discourage and hinder us and stop us from praying. Because the devil knows that we are a great foe. So, let me say this also as we get near the end. With all this being said, don't allow the enemy to condemn you and feel like you're a failure in prayer. He's good at that. You know, God knows your schedule. We have Emily Rohr here. Dear Emily, hope you don't mind if I use you as an example. God knows Emily. He knows she has a husband, 3 small children, and a job. She can't spend hours on her knees praying to God. It's not going to happen. She doesn't have that kind of quiet time to do that. But she can pray on her drive to work, which you probably do. You can pray during when you do the laundry or as you prepare meals or as you're changing diapers. God knows our schedules. He is not somebody unreasonable. And so, yeah, just be an Emily Rohr. You could tell she spends time with him because you could see Jesus all over her. What a great ambassador for the Lord in Emily Rohr. People see the joy of the Lord in her. Now, we can't just live on a wing and a prayer all the time. We do need to have those times where we get alone and steal away, if we can, to be with the Father. But don't condemn yourself if it's not all structured and it's not some formula as somebody says in a book, because just be yourself. You know, King David, or David as a boy when he's going to fight Goliath, Saul's armor didn't fit him, did it? And somebody's prayer way of doing it might not be a fit for you because you're different. And lastly, too many has fallen in the trap of just going to God in prayer when we need something. Guilty, I do that too. Lord, gimme. It's not wrong to go to the Father when we have needs. He invites us to do that. He wants us to do that. But if our prayer times become just asking and requesting, asking Him to do something, then we're missing the heart of what really prayer is about. Again, prayer is this lifestyle that He wants us to have, where we're in constant touch and in communication with Him, His Son, and with the Holy Spirit. So, finally, and I think of all the points, this is probably my most important point. We should occasionally set aside and plan for special times of prayer where we come to the Father just for Him. Do you do that in your life? I do that too infrequently. Usually when I do this, it's because I see myself just missing it in so many ways, and I just need to push everything aside. I mean, I do a lot to help get things going for new beginnings, if I pray for new, but none of, just put all that aside and just come to God for Him, just for Him, just to be with Him, to sense His presence, to sense His love. No agenda, no requests. And sometimes, no words. Father God wants you and me to be one with Him, united in a holy love, in the deepest possible relationship. That's what we were created for. That's what He desires. And then we have this prayer from Jesus. This prayer he prayed for you and for me. It's Jesus' prayer for you and me. Listen to Jesus' prayer for you and me. 17, John 17, 20 to 21. I do not pray for these alone, which meant His disciples, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, and I, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He wants that kind of oneness. I didn't read it real well. That they may all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That's a pretty awesome thing. We can be one with the Creator of the universe, and that's what He wants. As our closing benediction and prayer, we're going to be looking at a YouTube video by Casting Crowns, and it's a song that they're doing live. It's called Here's My Heart. You can sing along if you want, or just listen. I would invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and have His way in your heart and life in your relationship with the Father this morning as we view this. So we can just stay seated as we do this. Again, sing along if you want, or just allow it to minister to your heart.
We don't have to come to God like somebody else. We come to Him like we are. And a lot of times that means that I start my prayer time with, God, just show me my heart. Show me where I am. God, show me truth about myself so I know how to follow You. Sing this prayer with us.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Sing that again. Here's my heart.
Here's my heart, Lord.
Can you pray that to Him?
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord.
Speak truth, Lord.
Speak what is true.
I am found. I am Yours. I am loved. I'm made pure. I have life. I can breathe. I am healed. I am free.
My heart, Lord. strong, you are sure, you are love, you endure, you are good, always true, you are life, breaking through.
Search your heart. Lord, open us up. Speak to us. Draw us closer to you, Father. And sing this prayer to him. You are more than enough. Can you sing that?
'Cause you are more.
Thank you so much for your great love for us. Thank you that you so desire to be with us, to have fellowship with us, to talk to us. Oh Lord, draw us near to you, that others may see you in us, that they too could be in your family. Thanks for being such a wonderful Father. We pray now as we go out this week, Lord, that we could just tell people about our great, great Father. We pray this in Jesus' name.